If you've ever felt like you're in the middle of a big transition in life, whether it's with your health or even with your business or career, and you feel like it's bigger than you are, then this episode's for you. One of the best skills that you can have is the agility to pivot. And that's exactly what my guest is going to share in today's episode. My guest today is Ryan Lee. Ryan knows a thing or two about how to be agile while going through a massive health and also business transformation. Ryan healed himself from an autoimmune disease, lost 40 pounds, and has built and sold several multi-million dollar companies. Ryan is a successful entrepreneur in the health and wellness space, which has helped him rise to success as an entrepreneur in the marketing space as well. He's been featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, dozens of TV shows, has spoken on stages, and has been called the world's number one entrepreneur by Entrepreneur. Ryan is currently running Bone and Brew, which is a bone broth coffee alternative, and he's the founder of Freedom, which is a free community. It's basically the Netflix of marketing and entrepreneurship. Ryan's married to his college sweetheart and has four great kids, and Ryan has one of the biggest hearts of service in the entrepreneurial space. You are going to love this interview. Do you wake up every day with a to-do list that gets results for everyone else, but taking care of yourself is not on the list? If you're burned out, stressed out, and ready for life to be easier, you're in the right place. Welcome to Gratitude Builds Fortitude, the podcast for successful women to create their comeback story for their health, lives, and careers. Picture an 80s movie style montage where we optimize your mindset and mental resilience with a splash of gratitude. I'm Holly Burton. I'm your host and comeback coach, and it's time for your comeback story. So let's play and have fun. Ryan Lee, welcome to the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast. Thanks for being on the show.
Holly, I'm excited, and I'm excited for your new intro music. I'm excited for this interview and all the cool stuff you're doing.
Yeah, thanks so much. And I know we have known each other for years, going back to the days of the Dr. Nandy show and sitting in the green room for, 12 hours, I think.
Yeah, it was a TV show we were doing, and we sat in the green room. It was at least 8 hours. And I remember sprinting through the airport because I thought I was going to miss my flight. So that was a fun experience. And there were no seats. I remember sitting on the floor.
Yes.
Yeah, we ran out of seats. So, but we kept in touch. I mean, it was years ago. So yes. We kept in touch, and it's been cool to see what you've been doing and on your journey. And yeah, I'm excited to be here. And I like that we've stayed in touch and we talk business and, of course, the retro stuff. And,
yes.
And our mission to help people and help people feel better. So anything I can do to help you and your amazing people listening, I'm here.
Yeah, awesome. My awesome 80s loving buddy. And the other thing is, and I'll make sure I put a link in the show notes, is, you know, we can get into the Bone Brew, which is the most amazing morning elixir. I love it. But I want to talk about transformation and specifically agility, because of all of the people I know, like a lot of people go through a lot of transformations. Mm-hmm. But I think from your perspective, I mean, your health, how much weight did you end up losing from start to
probably
finish?
Since my peak, like when I was, like right before I was diagnosed with the autoimmune disorder, like around 40 pounds.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was quite a bit. And then, you know, building businesses, selling businesses. I mean, just from the personal perspective, from the business perspective, I mean, I love the brilliance that you bring to things. I love the freshness that you bring to things. And like I said, that agility of being able to pivot and to know when to pivot. And I think that's the big thing sometimes too, that gets us stuck in our heads is like, okay, we want to make a change, but how do we know when to do it? And when do we do it? Right. And all the things. So yeah, so let's dive in. So do you want to talk about personal or professional first?
Whatever way you want to go, I'm here. Fire away. All you have to do is ask me one question, and then you're never going to have to talk again for the rest of the interview.
So. Yeah, let's jump into the personal journey, because autoimmune disease, a lot of weight loss going from super unhealthy to super healthy. What did that look like?
Well, to kind of go back before, I used to be really healthy. So I was a fitness professional. I was captain of my track team all through college. I got my master's in exercise physiology. So I knew what to do. But what happens is I had kid number one, gained a few pounds, kid number two, you know, eating their chicken fingers, kid number three, kid number four, like every time it just kept going. And then I was getting stressed, and I built a really successful nutrition company, and we kind of got screwed over by one of our people, and like it all crashed. So we went from this business that was doing like seven figures a month to seven figures in debt within like 6 weeks. And then my mom passed away. It was all right around this time, right when I had my fourth kid. I felt like the whole world was closing in on me. So my nutrition got really bad. I wasn't exercising as much. I was stressed to the max, little ladies term. And my joints hurt. I could barely walk. And then I was going to doctors for months. They couldn't figure out, you know, autoimmune is so hard to diagnose. So I went to doctors. I went to podiatrists because I couldn't walk. And then I went to physical therapists, everyone. And finally, it was a rheumatologist. They did my blood work. Like, all right, you definitely have an autoimmune. We think it's psoriatic arthritis. You can never really, really know 100%, but everything is showing this. And then the doctor said, you have to go on drugs. It's almost like a chemo. It's called methotrexate. I said, well, what else can I do? He said, nothing. We have to basically kill everything. We don't know what's causing it. And I said, well, isn't it inflammation? He goes, yeah, but we don't know what's causing it. So basically, we have to kill everything. And you have to come in every few weeks because you can't be around anyone that gets sick. I'm like, I have four kids. I went on a journey to figure out, how am I going to fix my health? What am I going to do? How am I going to eat better? And, you know, ups and downs, but basically I've been able to, you know, I lost the weight. I'm exercising every day. I'm meditating, eating my sardines, which I love. Grew up on those. And just feeling better, like really working on the mental stuff, the physical stuff. And then I started a nutrition company based on that called Rewind. And we started with bars, and then we launched green drinks. And it was kind of a fun retro theme, and it was about rewinding the years and, you know, that idea of rewinding like a VCR or you know, Walkman. And I've been able to keep it off for years now. I feel great. As of this recording, it's so funny that I actually forget my age. It's like the Blink 82. What's my age again? I'm 51.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're a year younger than me, so you're 51.
Yeah, I can never remember if I'm 50 or 51. So I'm 51. So maybe my memory's gone. Maybe I need more memory supplements. So I sold my nutrition company a year ago, and now this last year, I'm kind of just playing and figure out what I want to do in this next phase, this next 50, and trying to rediscover that. And yeah, I know we're going to talk about shifting and pivoting, because I've had so many shifts and pivots. You know, I've been online for 25, 26 years, so lots of businesses, lots of products, and we could definitely dig into a lot of those.
So let's focus in first on the health. When you're facing that with, I have to take this kind of chemo type medicine, did you actually take it, or did you you decided to go down the natural path and reduce your inflammation that way?
Right. I said to the doctor, well, can I just try to do this on my own? And he said, yeah, he said, go try. He's like, but you'll be back, almost like arrogantly. And I said, we'll see. And that was 8 years ago. Never went back, never got on the meds. So yeah, I really focused again on the biggest was definitely nutrition, which was weird because I grew up as a fitness guy, always working out. I had every fitness certification you could imagine. And I was always taught it's fitness is like 80% and nutrition is 20. And it's complete opposite. In fact, I'll go as far as to say it's like 90-10 nutrition. Like it is so important. So really focusing, and, you know, you go through some kind of ups and downs and you try things and eliminate one thing for a little bit, bring it back. And for a long time, and what I always recommend people do is we're all different. So we don't know what's going to trigger our inflammation or make us feel crappy. For some people, it's the big three tend to be gluten, sugar, and dairy. For me, the big one was gluten. And I knew it because every time, and I have four kids, and, you know, every time we'd have pizza, and I have a couple slices. I'm a New Yorker originally. You know? You got to have a slice. The next day, I'd wake up. I felt like I got hit by a truck. I'm like, I couldn't even bend my hand. And after a few years, because I'm an idiot, it takes me a long time to sink in. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't have gluten. So I've now been about 7 months, 100% gluten-free. And I feel even better. So for me, that works. Maybe for other people, again, it's dairy. It could be sugar. So it's simple, but it's not easy. So really focusing on nutrition, and for me also exercising every day, doing something physical, and now adding in stretching every morning. Because as we're getting older, the flexibility is a biggie, and we're sitting a lot, and we're getting the forward head tilt. And I was so tight. I mean, even 6 weeks ago, I couldn't even touch my toes, and now I'm back to doing it. So moving, getting physical. And it doesn't matter what you do physically, just do something you enjoy and something you could do consistently.
And then what do you do kind of mindset wise, like with meditation or anything like that?
So I was trying to do some meditation on my own and I couldn't stick with it. So I was looking online and there's a really popular app called Headspace, and I just use that, and I use it every single morning. And depending if I'm in a rush, sometimes I'll do a 10-minute meditation. You can actually do like a 3-minute meditation. I'm like, as long as I get a few minutes of just quiet breathing, I'm good. And now even with Headspace, it could show you your streak. And I'm not going to break that streak. Like every day it says, okay, you did another one. And then at night, what I've been doing lately is I'll listen to Headspace has some things, or I'll go on YouTube and I'll find some of these guided meditations that I'll listen to at night. Sometimes it's an affirmation thing. Sometimes they call it hypnosis. I don't know, but I fall asleep like a baby. So just doing that, taking time out of the day to really just breathe too. And I know your big thing. I mean, I see it right behind you, gratitude. I mean, every morning I have my journal and I write what I'm going to do. But the very, very, very first thing I do when I write is say everything I'm grateful for, always, because it just puts everything in perspective. It is so important to start with that. We all have something to be grateful for. The fact that we're just, you know, above ground is a good place to start. Not sweating all the small things. Thankfully, I had a pretty good foundation, because the first 6 years after college, I worked in a children's hospital. I was a recreational therapist and I worked with kids with all different disabilities, mostly physical. So being able to see the kids and all the stuff that they had to deal with, and they were all inner city kids. So there was no resources, no money, and they were in wheelchairs. And I know, unfortunately, a lot of kids that passed away. So, you know, I would go out with friends after. This was like early 94. And they're like, oh man, I'm so annoyed. You know, I miss a Seinfeld rerun, or I miss Seinfeld. I'm like, we don't have it too bad. Like, we got it pretty good. So that really had a good foundation for me, starting with gratitude, but then being really purposeful and intentional, continuing that as I'm getting older and as those years are getting further away.
And I think also it just puts everything into perspective. You know, like you said, like it just, you realize what you have. I was just having a conversation this morning with someone and, you know, kind of talking about something tech wise that I epically broke in my business from a tech aspect. And I was like, just take a wild guess on a scale of 1 to 10 where I'm at. She goes, I don't know, maybe a 7 or an 8. She goes, well, I know you, maybe a 5 or a 6. I was like, a 2. Mm. You know, like it just puts everything into perspective. Like,
right.
The tough stuff that happens, it's if you can't change it, right? It's how you react to it.
Right. And I know it's taking a big leap, but it's like, I'll say something like, you do a post and it gets 2 Facebook likes, right? And you're a little annoyed, but I'll ask myself, you know, on my deathbed, am I really going to worry about that? Like, is that going to be the last thing I'm thinking about, that I only got 2 likes? Probably not. So it's okay. Like, it's still normal to get annoyed, right? Like, we're human. So I'm not saying getting 2 likes is not annoying, or a friend ignoring you. Like, I get it. So, or you do something, you do a new product and it doesn't go well, or you don't get the promotion. Give yourself a few minutes. Get angry. Punch the pillow. Scream. This is BS. Whatever. And then dust yourself off. Next. Let's go. Like, I got this. And you look at it as, life is going to continue to give us challenges. It is. There's nothing we can do about that. No matter what, it's never going to be perfect. So instead of being nervous about it and getting scared, look at it and say, okay, what's the good that can come from this? You know, because I know every challenge will, I know this sounds like very rah-rah, but it's true. Every challenge will make you stronger. It really will. So look at it like, all right, this thing only got 2 likes. Good. How am I going to make it better? How am I going to fix it? So it's just a little bit of a flip, but it changes. It changes the way you feel about it. Easier said than done, but it takes practice.
So aside from that, I do want to ask you, with some of the changes with your health, have there been any times with the setbacks, like what's kept you on track with kind of not going back to that place where you were?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Holly here. I want to take a moment and first and foremost, thank you for tuning in to the newly rebranded Your Comeback Story podcast. Chances are, if you've been loving this podcast, I want to acknowledge that you're already on your way to creating your best life in 2024. And if that's the case, I want to help you to accomplish your goals. First, with your health, and so that you can benefit from the ripple effect with your career, relationships, even finances. Because if you're burned out and putting yourself last, I believe that it's time for you to create your own comeback story with your health and with your life. But here's the one thing that's missing. Optimal health, it's not about protocols, plans, or numbers on a scale. Optimal health is about reversing the aging process, eating and exercising in a way that fuels and nourishes you, actually saying yes to yourself and feeling at home and at peace in your body. So what needs to happen? I like to say that the weight around your midsection will never disappear until you address the weight of the world that's on your shoulders. And that's why I created this brand new, totally free private podcast series. It's called Your Comeback Experience. You're going to experience this podcast episodes on this podcast over the next 5 weeks. But why wait? You can get this in a private podcast series and with a very special PDF companion so that you can follow along. In this 5-part series, you're going to dive deep into the Rocky-inspired framework to understand why you've had minimal success with diet and exercise and what to do instead. Okay, what are we going to do? First thing you're going to walk away with is understanding the cycle that sabotages your health, along with 3 ways to create peace with your past stories, your beliefs, and the triggers from the past. Number 2, you're going to discover the power of personal responsibility as it relates to the challenges in our society to help make healthy choices a part of your lifestyle. Number 3, you're going to understand why you might be stuck in the perfectionist trap. Oh, raise your hand if you're a fellow perfectionist. How to break out of it by integrating mindset shifts with action steps. And then the top 3 strategies that you need to become the new, healthier version of yourself. Number 4, you'll discover why it's important to coexist with stress and then how to create your game plan to be more agile when the setbacks happen and when you don't feel supported. And then finally, number 5, you're going to walk away with your very own assessment of your health as it relates to your energy levels, your sleep, your metabolic health, and your weight, and a game plan going forward to make it all happen. And the best part, this private podcast series, it is totally free. Again, it's going to air on the podcast here over the next 5 weeks, but why wait? You can get immediate access to all of the episodes in a private podcast format. And again, you get a companion PDF so that you can follow along. To get the free podcast delivered right to your inbox, click on the link in the show notes or go to podcastholly.com. Super easy to remember, podcastholly.com, and the link is also in the show notes.
Great question. Trying to build in rituals too, like having the same rituals in the morning. It does take discipline. It really does. But it also takes forgiveness. So if I do screw up or I don't eat well, or we go out and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have had the burger. Okay, it's one meal, right? If I'm doing the right thing 95% of the time, you can give yourself a little bit of a break. And I don't call it cheat meals because that implies you're doing something wrong. It's a choice I made. And okay. The reality is if you start gaining weight, like you feel it when you put your pants on, men are no different. Like we feel the same thing that the women do. So if you put on the jeans and you're like, this is a little bit tighter. And I'll say, my wife, did you wash these? Like what happened here? What's going on? So it's things like that. Or sometimes you could see a picture of yourself and you're like, ooh, yeah, I need to kind of tighten things up a little bit. What I'll do, if I feel like I'm slipping a little bit, I'll start weighing myself every morning because I did that for a long time, for like a year or two, and not in an obsessive way, but just to kind of keep track to say, okay, and I know there's water weight and I know there's all different factors. I get it, but at least there was a baseline. I'm like, all right, I'm 3, 4, 5 pounds over. I need to just kind of tighten things up a little bit because not that weight is everything, not that it's the most important thing. And I'm not trying to shame people who are a little bit heavier than they want to be. But I'm saying it is a good kind of general indicator of overall health in a way, right? At least for me with the inflammation, if I'm gaining weight, I'm feeling bloated, I'm feeling kind of achy. So that would be my barometer. So if I'm not feeling great, I start getting on the scale in the morning and that's the instant, oop, I got to stay on this. But a thing that really did scare me years ago, it's funny, it wasn't even the autoimmune and the almost crippling joint pain. It was, I was sick for like 2 weeks. I couldn't shake it. And I never get sick. And I went to the doctor and then, you know, they do your blood pressure. And my blood pressure was high. And this was like 10 years ago. So I was 39 or 40. And I'm like, all right, that's scary. Because now, and the doctor's like, oh, we got to watch this. I'm like, what? Like, I was a trainer. You know, I created fitness videos. I was on the men's fitness magazine training team. I have high blood pressure. So that was scary. And my kids were young. I'm like, all right, I need to really take care of my health, not just for the pain stuff, but like, I don't want to have a stroke or a heart attack.
So I want to jump into some of the business stuff too. And these have been just absolutely golden insights. Thank you for everything so far. But before we jump in, I want a little bit of a segue here. Bone and Brew.
Yes.
Can we just talk about the best product ever?
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. I drink this every single morning. Do you preface it with, this sounds crazy?
Yeah. And I was, when we were coming up with like the flavors and the first one to come out with, I was like, it's bone broth. And that was the first thing when I went to a naturopath with the autoimmune, that's the first thing she said, you need to drink bone broth. And I made it once. I'm like, oh, I can't have chicken. It tastes like chicken broth. I can't have that every morning. So the idea of doing this and having something that's sweet, that feels more like a coffee shop flavor, but people will look at me like creme brulee or caramel flavored bone broth doesn't make sense. But once you sip it, you're like, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it's lightly caffeinated with green coffee?
With green coffee beans. So you don't have that crash. Cause I just wanted to have something that can replace coffee. Cause I know people do like that feeling of like a little bit of the energy. So that was the idea. You know, we're still on the fence. We might do a decaffeinated version as well for some people who don't like the caffeine. There's not a lot. It's the equivalent of one cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah. So I was that person who I was like, you're going to have to take coffee out of my cold, dead hand. Mm-hmm. And over time, the reactions that I was having to it, it was not healthy. I mean, it was like full body rashes. And I just kept drinking it because I was like, well, this can't be happening.
Right.
But yeah, I was like, yeah, no, I need to really stop drinking it. And, you know, just waking up on air and sunshine, which is awesome. But oh my goodness, the bone and broth, like it literally tastes like creme brulee. It does not taste like bone broth at all. And I heat it up and it's yummy. And I am actually very sensitive to the caffeine. So instead of the full packet, I only do half of a packet.
Oh, you do half? Okay.
Yeah. So I actually pour all of the packets into a container and then I have a little scoop. So I measure it precisely. And it's like this whole thing. Yeah. But it's just like my morning ritual and I absolutely love it. So, and I'll make sure I leave the link to that.
I'm so happy. Yeah. Just on Amazon, just type in Bone and Brew.
It is so good.
Yeah, I'm really proud of it. So, yeah, no, thank you. Thank you for that. Like, this is a paid promotion for Bone and Brew. I paid a lot of money to be on this podcast and promote my product. Come on. All that other stuff is just made up. Yeah.
It literally, like the Folgers, the best part of waking up is Bone and Brew in my cup.
Look at that. I love it.
Yeah. So, and speaking of, you know, we've got the fitness stuff, we've got the business stuff. Like you have built companies, you've sold companies, and even like I'm on your email, which I love your emails, just even recently in this past year, kind of how you've been pivoting with your company and your business and everything that you've been doing. Let's jump into that and talk about, you know, how you grow, how you know when to stop, how you know when to pivot. Like you're so good at this. How do you know when to do what you do?
I look at it as, what have we got to lose, right? Like, maybe I'm a natural risk taker. I like taking chances. I like trying new things. I get bored easily. I want to kind of have some variety and spice things up. So we tend to be reserved because we're nervous because we don't want to screw up and we don't want to screw up publicly. So we're scared. We're like, but what if I tell people I'm doing this and it doesn't work, right? What if I say, hey, I'm launching this new thing and it doesn't work, or I start this new e-commerce company, it doesn't work. And what I say, and I say this with all love and kindness, no one cares. And what I mean is everyone is thinking of themselves. Just look on social, like this, the, you know, the selfies and the picture that was clearly taken from someone else. Like, I'm ready to change lives. Like, it's all about them. I have a problem with a lot of social media stuff. But anyway, but the thing is, everyone's thinking about themselves. And as much as we're friends, Holly, and I see stuff you do and you see stuff I do, and I see stuff like, I still care about you and I care about other people and I'm watching, but people aren't waking up every day saying, what's Ryan doing? They're not. They're thinking, what am I going to do today? Right? Like, they're not worried about us. So we think people are watching us and critiquing us more than they really are. They're just not. And they forget. Like, if you're putting stuff on social media, they could be friends with 200, 500, 1,000 people. So there's a good chance they're not even seeing what you're writing. And people forget, Holly, I've created so many products and programs. Someone will say, oh my God, Ryan, I love that whatever trainer program you did. I'm like, the heck is that? I don't even remember a program I did. And then it takes me a few minutes. I'm like, oh yeah, that was 2001. Like, if I forget what I did, they're forgetting. So my point is, I want to take the pressure off you saying, no one cares. Like, try things, break things, see what works, see doesn't work. That's the only way. And what happens is we get this kind of false positive. Like, we'll say to our friend, hey, I'm thinking of starting this new thing. Would you buy it? Oh my God, I would buy it. You know, if you launch it, I'm going to buy it. And everyone says all this stuff. And sometimes it gives you a false sense. So this is kind of the other side of it. And the reality is, no one, we don't know. So if you have something to sell, whether it's e-commerce products or digital programs, or you want to be a life coach or whatever it is, or you're trying to sell anything, nothing happens until someone actually takes their credit card and makes a buy and makes a purchase. That's the only way to know. Otherwise, you don't know. So I'm like, I'll put it out there. What I do is I always approach it with, I'm just completely honest with everyone. And I'll start it with these four words. But this could be the title of this interview, right?
Okay.
So these four simple words. Here's what I'm thinking. That's it. It takes the pressure off. Here's what I'm launching. I'm doing this. I'm going all in, you know, and get all like Gary Vee and I'm crushing it. Like, nah. Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of launching this new jewelry company. I'm thinking of creating an eyeglass thing. I'm thinking of getting a job here. I'm thinking of going to the, you know, the farmer's market and doing a greens product. Here's what I'm thinking. What do you guys think? Well, here's what I'm thinking. I'm going to start doing some stuff. I'll keep you posted. Just takes the pressure off. And then when you launch it or whatever you do, just do it with the perspective of, hey, this is what I did. What do you think? If you like it, cool. If not, that's fine too. And then just take the data in and see what happens. And you might say, man, this sold X number of units. This is a home run. I'm going to keep going. Or this was a disaster. I got to cut my losses. And which brings me to my next point. Why do I launch and do things so quickly? Because I have zero sunk cost bias. I never had it. It just doesn't, I don't feel it. It's funny. I had the conversation with my kids. I was teaching them the other night. And my son says to me, who's 14, he goes, Dad, what's that thing again? Skunk roast? I said, no. Sunk cost.
Although I have to say, if you're scared of it, it does kind of smell like a skunk.
It's a good point. I mean, yeah. When you said skunk roast, I'm like, that's actually good. It's a better name for it.
That is a better name for it.
It is like a skunk roast. But it is so crippling for entrepreneurs. I cannot tell you how many times I've been on a call with someone who they're like, I've got to launch this. And I'll look at the idea and they've been working on it for 3 years. And I'm like the time has passed. This just isn't going to work. And they'll say, but Ryan, I spent 3 years building it. And I'll say, but Jennifer, no one cares. Like, the consumers don't care if you spent 30 years. They don't care if you took out a second mortgage. Either they like it or they don't. Either it resonates or they don't. And if they don't, then you have to let it go. And it's really hard for us to do because we get really emotionally attached to our stuff. And you just can't. Like, you cannot get emotionally attached to your idea that you're going to have a million ideas. There's going to be some things that work. There's going to be some things that don't. That's okay. But when you get emotionally attached, it's like selling a house, right? Everyone thinks their house is much more valuable than it really is. But I built the closet with my hands. They don't care, right? You know, I painted the fence. So what? So you cannot get emotionally attached. You can't have the sunk cost bias. And those are some things just to kind of get over that fear, because it really is fear. It's the fear of, what if I fail in public, or this fear that I've already spent so much money doing this, or I'm a lawyer now and I hate being a lawyer, but I can't do this other thing because I went to law school. I'm like, well, so what? Well, I spent X number of years and it cost me $300,000. It's still student loans. I said, okay, but you can't get that back. It's already done. So you're either going to do something now that you hate just because you already put money into it, or you're going to put money into it anyway. So you may as well do what you love. And the minute you really, really, really understand it and don't fall into that trap, is the minute like all the pressure goes and be like, I'm free. Like every day you can wake up and say, I have a fresh start. Why not? What's stopping you, Holly, from changing your entire brand tomorrow? What's stopping me? What's stopping anyone? Nothing. I had one person I did a call with a couple months ago. Well, I can't change my brand because what about all my fans and all my subscribers? I said, well, what's your social media? Well, I do YouTube. Well, how many YouTube subscribers do you have? 28. I said, they'll be okay.
They'll be okay.
They'll be okay. There's still 5, 6, 7 billion people who have no idea who you are. So let's focus on them. Like, the 28 people are going to be okay. And I didn't mean it to like insult her, because it's 28 more than most people have, right? Celebrate your success. But as long as you, again, approach it to them, here's what I'm thinking. And it doesn't matter if it's in something completely different. Like if I want to open up a candy shop, right? I'd be like, hey guys, here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of doing this. Okay, let's go for it. And just reduce your risk as much as possible. Keep the bloat down, keep the cost down. Like, don't play business. You don't have to start setting up, oh, well, I have to set up an S corp and I have to get the trademark and I have like, and they start spending tens of thousands of dollars. I need an accountant. I need, like, just let's just put some stuff out there as low cost as possible. Let's just test the concept, see if the concept works. And then you could start taking more steps going into it.
You know, I think you hit the nail on the head. And kind of coming into this interview, I was excited to hear your thoughts around this, because I have watched you buy and sell and, you know, create and yeah, all of the things. And absolutely brilliant when you talk about how emotionally attached we are to be able to let go and how much freedom mm-hmm. that actually gives us. And I was thinking back to 2020, and I spent an entire year on a brand new concept that no one was talking about that was much needed in the autoimmune community. And basically, the pandemic rendered it almost useless. Mm. And I mean, I spent months after that just sucking my thumb, you know, because it was an emotional attachment, mm-hmm. something that I had no control over. You know, if the pandemic wouldn't have happened, it would have been a brilliant product to provide to the community. But, you know, the pandemic comes along, it's like, well, not so much, time to pivot. And mm-hmm. and I didn't, like, I was emotionally attached to it. I was in the corner sucking my thumb and, you know, not looking at it from the perspective of, oh, gee, maybe this closed door means I should go look at something else. Maybe I should go pivot. So I found myself getting sucked into that. So I'm really glad, because it kind of put a big light bulb on my head about, you know, looking back at my journey. And, you know, hopefully everyone listening kind of is thinking about something in their life too, not even just from a business perspective, from, you know, relationships, from fitness. Like, you know, we get committed to a diet or a protocol or a person in our life, and you go down a path and it just isn't working. And you right. have all of that time, money, and effort into this thing, you know, and yeah. and it is hard. It is hard to let go. And sometimes it's necessary.
It's often necessary. It's not easy. You know, I know that, especially if you put a lot of time and effort. You know, I said going to law school, imagine medical school, it's harder, obviously, when you're talking about interpersonal relationships, right? Like, it's easier to say, okay, my bone broth didn't work, I'm going to drop it and, you know, not emotionally attached. It's another thing when you say, okay, my marriage isn't working, I'm just going to drop this person and, you know, see ya. Like, that's harsh, right? It's much different when you're talking about...
Oh, yeah. I went through that last year.
Yeah. And a lot of people, right? Half people do. So I understand that's a much harder conversation. I'm talking about more business stuff.
Oh, yeah. But I'm saying the principles apply across the board. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But seriously, Holly, you'd be shocked how many people I work with, how many entrepreneurs, and they're stuck on an idea that just hasn't worked. And you get the mixed messages because you get some people, the hustlers, you know, the Gary V's, like that kind of, where they're like, never quit, right? If you keep doing it, it's going to eventually work. No, it won't. You can't outmarket a bad idea. People don't want to tell you that. They don't want to tell you your idea just isn't very good. Like, it's just not going to work, or it's not working. And if you try an idea and you keep shifting and trying different messages around it, it's still not working, then there's no shame in quitting. I think it's like the right thing to do. Like, you should quit more. I think it's crazy to keep doing something that isn't working. Like, you're not stuck to it. You're not married to the idea. Try something different. So, and they make you feel guilty about saying, oh, don't ever quit. I have no problem quitting, and I have no problem taking naps. That's right. I said it here. I'll quit and then I'll nap right after. How about that?
Awesome. That is awesome. So one final question before we kind of wrap up, because you brought up a really good point, and I'm a Leo, so I'm very loyal. Like, I will hold on to something until the bitter end. How do you know when it is time? Like, how do you know that I have tried everything? Like, it is time to pivot. You know, it's not just like I tried this once or twice and it's not working. Like, I've tried it enough and I've gone down that path enough that you're like, this is not working versus I need to pivot. How right. do we know when that fine yeah. line is?
Look, every person and every business is obviously going to be different, right? Like, if you just opened up a yogurt shop, you can't just pivot after like 2 hours and be like, all right, it's done. And like, you have a lease, right? Like, so you can't just walk away. Versus coming up with, I'm doing this promotion for a coaching thing and it doesn't work. All right, I'm walking away from it. So I think coming in with some sort of set criteria, and it could be sales. So if you're launching a product, it could say, okay, if I don't hit X amount of money in a certain time frame, right? Like, so you have to have some time attached to it. So you say, and everyone, it could be different, because they say, you know, if I don't hit $1,000 in the first 30 days, I'm walking away. Like, whatever that number is, whatever that time frame is, but at least having something, because if not, it's so open-ended and it's so ambiguous, like, you don't know, right? And it's really hard to say, do you walk away or do you not? I will say, whatever you do, come up with different angles and hooks, especially if you're an entrepreneur and it's a business. That's the first thing to try, because the product and the idea might actually be good, but the positioning might be all wrong. So, you know, this cup could be great, but you're positioning it as, you know, for Olympic athletes and it's not working. You're like, you know what? I'm going to position this for working moms. And all of a sudden it takes off. Like, the famous thing, did you ever hear of, who just recently passed away, Suzanne Somers,
the Thighmaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ironically, the Thighmaster, the first version of it, it was called like the all-in-one exerciser. So it was that thing. And it's like, use your upper body, do your chest, do your back, do your lats, do your legs. And it bombed. And they changed it. And they said, let's just call it the Thighmaster and just do that one exercise. And the rest is history, right? So it wasn't that the product was bad. It was the positioning. So I question you and I challenge you to spend more time on the positioning and the hooks and trying to find unique ways, or maybe just laser focus to one market. Like I just said, this is just for moms, right? So that's the first thing. And then the second thing to test is pricing. That's the other thing. Like, is it too high? Is it too low? Do the unit economics work? How much does it cost me to get a customer? And then you get into some of the kind of more hardcore businessy type stuff. But put a time frame on it, put a number on it, then try the hooks, and then try the pricing. And then if it's not working. Now, if you have an email list, which by the way, and this is not, I know this isn't like a marketing show, get an email list. I don't care if you have a million followers watching your TikToks. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, you don't own those followers. You don't own that relationship, and they could turn off your account for any reason at all. So do your stuff, do your weird dances, do your posts. I'll do my 80 stuff, but get them onto your list because that at least is your asset. And when you have a list and you're emailing them and you have a relationship, and a great email to get on is at ryanlee.com. It's amazing. It's phenomenal. But I'm to the point now where I know within 30 minutes if the product is going to be a hit, like based on the amount of sales, based on data, based on doing this for a long time. So get a list, get an email. You could start to see and you get a really good feel if this is going to work. I once did a software program. I spent about $35,000 on it. This was so dumb. Before I even tested the concept, and months I worked on the thing and I launched it. And the first day, bombed. Like I sold one unit. And I immediately, I knew no matter what I'm going to do with the hook, no matter what, this is just DOA. It just was a complete miss. And I shut the whole thing down after one day. That was a hard loss to take, but lesson learned. Okay, I can spend months anymore. I'm not going to invest tens and tens of thousands of dollars if I don't even know if the concept would work without even asking people or getting feedback. So be careful.
Yeah, this is so good. Thank you for everything. I'm still tripping over the whole emotional thing. Like that just is mind blown for me. Thank you for all of this. I want to make sure you've given us such great information. I want to make sure that we've covered everything that you wanted to talk about today. Is there anything that we missed that you didn't get a chance to share?
You know, I would just say, because I know there's a lot of people listening and watching this that is kind of more in the entrepreneurial space, right? And building businesses. Just be a good human. Just be real. Be honest. I know the word authentic, it's thrown around so much. But just like I was saying before, say, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I got. Like, just stop watching so many of the hardcore marketers because what they're saying can work, but it doesn't work as well as just being a human being. Real. So don't just share your highlights. Share everything. Now, you don't want to go overboard and just every day you're posting a social, like then no one wants to follow you either. Debbie Downer. But like show the highs, but show the lows and just be real. Hey, this is what I'm doing. This worked. This didn't. Because if everything is a win and everything is, look at this sunlight hitting me. Oh my God, I'm crushing life. No one wants to hear that. And you know what? You're annoying. And we don't want to be with annoying people. So just be a good human being. Treat people well. Treat them with kindness. And just open up and just be you. Don't be me. Don't be Holly. Just be you. And the right people will find you. And some people are not going to dig you. There's some people, crazy as it seems, that don't probably like my stuff. All right. That's okay. They'll find someone else. And then you'll attract the right people. So just do it. We got one life. Let's go.
I love that. Just be you and just be yourself. And you will. I mean, it's like, you show up as your best authentic self, and you do. You attract your people, and you know your people attract you. So thank you so much for all of that. And I know I really encourage everyone to just connect with you, ryanlee.com. And I know you can share all the good stuff that you've got going on, any programs you have coming up. Go get some Bone and Brew. So if you could share, and I'll leave all the links in the show notes too, but share where to find you, what programs you have coming up, where to find you on social media.
I'd be crazy to not follow my own advice. The most important thing is email, right? So I do it. I call it like a daily-ish email.
Your daily-ish is so good. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. My daily-ish is delish. Just made that up. I might have to use that. I'm going to give you credit for that one, Holly.
Okay, awesome.
Even though I think I just said it. But just go to ryanlee.com. Just get on my email. And from there, you'll know where to find me. And sometimes I'm on social. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'll just take a month off. I don't feel like dealing with it. So my email is the best way for us to stay connected. And if you want to email me, it's ryan@ryanlee.com. So just please don't do the email like, hey, can I pick your brain? Because no one wants their brain picked. Just be cool. But ryanlee.com is the place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Ryan Lee, for being on the Gratitude Builds Fortitude podcast and for sharing all of this great wisdom with us today.
I was honored to be here.
We have some real talk here for a minute, just between us girls. Can we have a conversation about what the end of the day looks like? I'm talking about that moment when you've crossed off all the things on your list. Okay, they're not all completed, but you're done for the day. And when I say done for the day, I mean you are done. And you sit on the couch to actually relax for a few minutes before bedtime. You know that moment of pure bliss when your bum hits the couch cushion and then you sit back in this heap of exhaustion. You pull the blanket over your legs, literally breathe for the first time all day. And it's not even 1 minute later. And it's your spouse, hey, hon, your kid, mom. Or you pick up the phone to scroll on social media and then your boss sends you an email you need to respond to. Or you see something that like, oh, shoot, I forgot to do something that can't wait for tomorrow. And then the dog's doing the potty dance because spouse or kid never took them for a walk, even though you asked them to. And it's that moment that you feel this resentment fill your body. And then you probably feel guilt on top of it because this is the life that you've always dreamed of. You've got a great career and a great family. So you might be wondering, why do I feel so drained? Why is my life sucking every ounce of energy out of my body? I'm here to tell you that the world is not going to crumble if you say yes to yourself, but you will eventually crumble if you don't. You deserve to take care of yourself and your health. And it begins by saying yes to you, which is probably the hardest yes that you're ever going to say. And that's why I created a very special private podcast series. It's called Your Comeback Experience, and it's specifically for you, the woman who has a track record of success in everything that you do, but you are burned out and something's still missing. And somewhere along the way, your health got pushed to the side. It's a secret podcast, meaning it's not public. You need to have an invitation to access it. And I want to invite you. So to get this free private podcast delivered right to your inbox, click on the link in the show notes or go to podcastholly.com. Super easy to remember, podcastholly.com. The link is also in the show notes.